The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Pete, Paddy and Nigerian Steve.
Hi.
Steve's not here, actually. We said Nigerian Steve because Steve called Paddy, asked the Englishman. I just posted a walking the dog, and I posted a picture of some really odd, they were quite big, those mushrooms, really red top with white dots on them. It's almost like they've been painted. They're really shiny.
Toadstools, aren't they?
Definitely
are they?
Edible.
I've never seen a toad sitting on them. They're still, have you? Have you seen them?
No, that's just toadstool sample.
Is it? That's what comes in the back of them. Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, Steve's out on a date, kissing, smooching, probably. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, 6 o'clock on a Friday evening.
He's nearly started, yeah, Steve.
He's probably got a 2-for-1 deal or something. Has to be.
Keep it clean, Pete. He's got one girl. Okay. He's not going for a 2-for-1 deal. If his missus heard this, she'd be disgusted. He used to do that before he met this lady. And he'd give that up. Yeah, you know, he just couldn't handle going to doctors all the time. Yep. Get things sorted downstairs. Anyway, let's Paddy came up with a very, very good. You know, I should have said at the time in the WhatsApp group. Sap, I should have said, this is a good question for the Weekend Podcast if we do it. And Paddy said, Paddy, ask the question, please.
What is the question?
No, that wasn't the question.
What question are we talking about? I've asked lots of questions.
No, that wasn't the question either. It was about your mortgage. You asked.
Mortgage.
Yeah. Remember?
Should I get a 1 year or 2 year renewal? What's happening in the short to medium term with interest rates?
Well,
doctor. Let's
hand over to Dr. Peter there. Peter, what would you say?
Well, I'll get my crystal ball out.
Don't do that. Keep it clean again, Peter. You're bringing it downhill a bit here.
Sorry, my crystal balls.
I know they're polished up nicely.
Right, you know. I'd like to think we've reached a peak and interest rates will start to recede.
Well, that's just the standard of this podcast. I'd like to think we've reached a peak there. Yeah. Cool. What do you reckon? What do you reckon then?
Well, and based on nothing but other than hope, I hope to see that we're sort of plateauing now. By this time next year, we'd be on a downward trend, so you'd be able to get a better deal. So I would renew for just 1 year, would be my thoughts.
1 year.
Okay. What are the deals coming in at, Pad? What are the rates for the deals?
Well, they've come down a bit. About 3 months ago, they were at 6.5%, and now they're at 5.5%, or just under 5.5%.
Okay.
The ones I can get. I'm sure there are better ones available, but...
Yeah,
the ones that offered to me,
when do you have to sign? When was the last minute day?
Or? Next month.
Next month. See, that's telling you. See, it's a gamble, isn't it? Because November, obviously, early in November, right? Obviously, the governor and the MPC committee are going to meet up and decide whether to keep interest on hold. If they do, I think you get an even better deal, and that's early November. I think November 2nd, but. If they decide to raise, and I don't think they will, the markets are rolling over. Everyone's a bit scared. Did you see that? You know, some of the figures coming out now are not good. You know, I mean, even you know, CPI data, which is inflation data. I mean, that did stay at 6.7%. But here's the good thing: this is what Andrew Bates just read now, just released via email via City AM, and it said UK inflation is set to drop markedly for October amid continued efforts to tackle high costs of living. The governor of the Bank of England said Bailey indicated inflation will return to its recent pattern of slowdowns after the Office of National Statistics recorded a surprise pause last month, leaving inflation at 6.7%. Now, the reason why it's going to come down, right, is because they do year-on-year and month-on-month comparisons. So last month, it stayed at 0.5%. But if you go back a year, so it's been round about that. In fact, let me get the chart. I'll show you now. Let me just the chart here. Every month, pretty much, it's been going up sort of, 0.6, 0.5, 0.7, 0.4. Last month, it was 0.5. In fact, in August, it dropped. But if you go back a year, right, to October, and that's what we're comparing it back to, then basically it went up by 2% in 1 month. So that's a high comparator. So now they're going to do a month-on-month, and that sort of drops out. So I think, or that comes in, I mean, so I think it's going to drop down. I mean, and they're confident by the end of the year, prices are not coming down, obviously inflation is slowing, but compared to last year, it's going to be dropping. And they reckon it'll be 4.9% by the end of the year. So I think, yeah, I would go for 1 year. I can't see, even if they go up by another quarter of 1%, the time is when do you do it, when do you sign it, when do you sign the deal. Mm. But even if they go up by another quarter of 1%, which they say it could do, you know, in the next year or so, they're going to be coming down. So I wouldn't go it for 2 years. So the question is,
there's another, you know,
yep,
Tory Party,
How long did it take? How long did it take? Five minutes in, Pat, is a record for you.
Let's not give them this, you know, there's plenty of time for them to screw things up again.
Yeah. Mm. And the reason, and also energy caps coming down, because obviously last year the energy cap went up and all that stuff, energy went up and all that happened. So that's a problem. Energy cap has now been revised down. That's why our inflation pretty much is a bit of an outlier compared to the rest of the G20, because we are still higher because our energy cap was up too high. Anyway, yeah. So,
were you buzzing after those by-election results?
Oh, it was manna from heaven, wasn't it? Beautiful to see.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to see. If you're working with Rishi at the moment, they must be literally grabbing at any straw possible that might suggest he could sneak in. And those were really a kick in the balls, weren't they?
Yeah, they're looking for the stats, the stats men and stats ladies, and saying, oh, please, can we pull anything out of this at all? Is any positive at all? Maybe it could have been worse. It couldn't have. Okay.
They were hoping that they could say, yeah, you know, these were bad apples, and people didn't, you know, people were never going to vote for us because of what's their face. But this went even further than they would have dared. Yeah.
I saw a headline saying they may even get rid of Rishi Sunak before the next election. Oh. And I thought, you can't be serious. I literally go through, they're going through prime ministers, you know, faster than I go through toilet paper. It's ridiculous. They can't be doing that. That is fast. Mm. That's why I order them by the bulk load and put them in the attic.
Yeah, I've seen. Yeah. Hmm.
It's like ridiculous. They can't do that. And who's going to bring in Liz Truss again? In fact, saying that, the bond yields are as high now as they were in Truss. Right? They spiked up, come back down, and they've gradually gone back up to where they were. So that's a worry. And that's the thing, you see. That's the thing with the market. I mean, the trouble is, what is Rishi doing messing around, you know, changing dates of all the... does he not realise... I mean, I don't know if he's been in business. I don't think he has. I mean, but his father-in-law has, and his wife has, and in fact, he invests in them via Tory party sort of policies in an indirect way. But he must know that uncertainty, changing the goalposts all the time, doesn't help business at all. You just need a clear path. This is what we need to do. This is how we're going to get to it. If you start moving around, say, oh, now let's extend that by 5 years and do this, then business doesn't know what the heck to do. Does he understand? Billions have been invested into, like, you know, EV manufacturers, jobs, plans, all this stuff, and he's changing the goalposts. Just, what is he doing?
Well, his approval went down to its lowest level after that announcement as well. So I think he's a little bit, he's under the assumption that Tory party voters are not in favour of the planet. But I think by their very nature, if you're a conservative, you are someone who's keen to
conserve,
keep the planet alive. Yeah. And you may not like some of the laws that go around that, but like inherently you are pro-environment.
Well, it's about conserving, isn't it? It's been being conservative and, you know, living by your means and, you know, working hard to get what you earn. But I hope, I don't mind Starmer coming in. I hope he doesn't mess around with the ISA, though, stuff like that, and start messing around with people who are investing, who've saved money and they're investing and that kind of stuff. I hope they encourage that as well,
probably
both
tax
sides.
Wealth, shouldn't you? Tax and wealth should be a good thing.
I'm not talking about that. Most people who've got, you know, literally ISAs, they're not wealthy. The real wealthy people, I mean, what they don't understand is this. The real wealthy people, if you start taxing those, they'll get around it. They can get around it. They're clever enough to do that.
Taxing the middle classes more. They're the ones that require. The people who've got all their stocks and shares, all their money in stocks and shares ISAs and just live off that. Those specifically.
I'll be asking Starmer personally.
Some way of taxing that.
I'll say, listen, are you going to be messing around with the ISA? If you say no, and if you're encouraging people to invest in British companies, I'm with you. But if you're not, I'm out. Okay, I'm out. Because we're taxed from everything you do, from the birth of you, everything. You earn money is taxed. You know, you put petrol in your car, that's taxed. You tax car tax. You buy a house, stamp duty. Sell a house, capital gains tax. You die, inheritance tax. Everything is bloody taxed. It's awful. I mean, it gives a break somewhere on the line. They start cutting.
It's a good idea, though. That encourages everything to invest in British companies. That's a decent manifesto idea. That. Did you see the documentary on Channel 4 this week about the property market and how it was, and how the housing crisis is basically as a result of people buying 3, 4, 5 houses as buy to lets?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
So it's really interesting. But they,
do you know what the points
they made there was that people saw investing in houses as a lot more attractive than what they used to do, which was invest in stocks and shares, partly because they understand it more and it's easier to get, but partly because of these property programs on TV. So if they can find a way of making investing slightly more appealing.
Yeah, well, they should do. I mean, the thing is, do you know what? The amount of listed companies in the UK, and it's not just in the UK, actually, it's around the world, but it's gone down by 60% since 1996. 60%. There's only about 2,000 listed companies now. I remember being 3,500 companies not so long ago. It's nuts. I mean, some of them have been bought up. And in fact, more UK companies being bought from by foreign companies. In America, this dropped as well. But it's like American companies are buying America to go and take them private, you know. But, I think...
It's probably down to the weak pound, isn't it? Like, buying British companies over the last few years has been pretty cheap.
Yeah, you know, since 2016, pretty much. Yeah, the valuation of our companies is undervalued.
What happened in 2016?
It was the perception of Brexit. It's not Brexit itself. If you look at the figures...
Brexit.
Hang on, if you look at the figures, our GDP isn't suffering as much as Germany or France or Spain or Italy. We're okay. It's fine. It's not Brexit. It's just the perception of it. It can damage it. So anyway, listen, the market, man. Bring it back to the market, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, it's a tough one, that mark. In fact, I'm saying the market, bloody. You've got to respect it, haven't you? It's an awful, mean device. When you're in a situation like we are now, it can be so mean, so hard. 2 years now it's been hard. In fact, the bear market, it's like a bear. It is like an actual bear, isn't it?
Right. And every now and again, been good.
You don't mess around with a bear, okay? You stand back. You just watch it, let it go on its way. You don't mess around. You don't prod it. Like, some people are jumping in on stocks now, thinking, oh, is this a falling knife? You know, don't. Basically, you're prodding a bear who's having a nap. Don't do that. Until the bear leaves, you know, just stand still or do what you need to do when a bear is close to you. I don't know what you do, but you certainly don't try and hit it or punch it, do you? Because it can kill you, you know. And that's the market. In fact, you know what? Here's an interesting fact. Well, you can be the judge. Interest rate-wise, where do you think we are right now in regards to the average? We are at 5.25, aren't we? I think, 5.25. So where do we think we are? This is going back to 1971 up to 2023. Where do you think we are? No Googling, please. Just off the top of your head, where do you think we are?
Sorry, what was the question?
Where do you think we are right now in regards to the average interest rate going back from 1971 to 2023?
Oh, pretty low.
I'd say bang on the average, aren't we?
Bang on the average, Pad? What do you reckon?
I think a lot lower than the average.
We are a lot lower than the average. The interest rate in the United Kingdom averaged from 1971 to 2023, 7.11%. Reaching an all-time high of 17% in November 1979. Yeah. That's when Thatcher came in. And a record low of 0.1% in March 2020.
Imagine that, 17%. I mean, this is when my mum and dad bought the house, their first house, literally at that point.
Yeah.
So they were... They told horror stories of the mortgage payments back then.
Yeah, yeah.
But the value of their house would have been like probably only twice their annual wage or whatever.
They decided to buy a house well out of their means to try and push themselves.
Oh, so you buy that was. Yeah. You buy out of your means, you say. If you buy out of your means, and you know that's not good. You keep within your means. Don't mess around with your means. You know.
No.
Means hinds. Listen, so. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
No.
But the difference is, I don't know, I saw this actually a video on X or Twitter about this, saying, you know, back in the 1960s, people were spending about, you know, I think it was 10, 20% of a wage on rent or mortgage. Now it's like 50%, you know, and debt levels. And the trouble is, you know, that average, 7.1%, is quite, you know, you can cope with that if you haven't got too much debt. And trouble is, at the moment, we've had a sort of, like I say, a money-free, you know, cheap party for the last 10 years when people have loaded up on debt because money hasn't cost anything. That's the problem. It's good that we go back to the point where borrowing money, actually, if you don't need to, you shouldn't be doing it. It costs you money. It's the value of money. People don't appreciate that, do they? And now that people are loaded up on debt and big mortgages and all of a sudden, you know, house prices are dropping. And do you see that in America? Mortgage applications are down to a 1995 low. Because in America, I mean, the 30-year, I don't think they have short-term fixed in America for some reason. I don't know what, maybe we should start a product like that. But so people are now, you know, coming off those long mortgages, and they get 8% rates. And they, I can't, like, I stretched myself when I bought this, so I can't handle it. But, I don't think it's, I genuinely think once we get to, you know, inflation, and it will come down, but once we get under control, I think there'd be a lot more sensible attitude to money and borrowing and debt. And that hopefully that will help, and it'll help the markets. And you realise, you know, these even companies who are taking a lot of debt, you shouldn't have done that. You know, you shouldn't have taken advantage when it's cheap. Just everything in moderation, didn't it? You know, and I think the bear will come. The bear will slope off slowly, and it will be slowly. It won't be like in the great financial crash. Essentially, it's like a couple of guys came up with a gun, shot him in the ear, and the bear run. The analogy here is the people with the guns were the central banks, and they're pumping money into banks to keep them, you know, afloat. And that can be done very quickly. But with inflation, you can't do it very quickly. So this time, we don't have guns. All we're saying is, go away, please, Mr. Bear. The bear's just looking at you. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
Well, you know?
And he just slopes off when he's had enough. When he's eating your picnic, he'll go and find someone else's picnic. You know, that's the thing.
What if he eats you?
Yeah, that's the problem. That's why you shouldn't mess around with a bear. And I'm talking about the bear market. Don't get into high-risk stocks with lots of debt, you know, especially with debt, big companies with lots of debt, because you could go under. That's the bear eating your picnic, or eating you. Not even your picnic, you as well. Yeah.
Nightmare.
Yeah, I'm writing an investment guide, guys. I'm trying to put a lot of pictures in it. In fact, I showed you one of my pictures. And I'm trying to make it as simple as possible, because investing is not simple. But essentially, break it down.
You are.
Yeah, I am. So I'm a good person to explain it, I think. But yeah. I'm basically breaking it down to, you know, how. No, sorry, what. Even I can't remember. I've forgotten the simple premise on which I've based this investment guide.
You've dumbed it down so much.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was thinking, essentially, it's four levels here, right? So what, you know, that's what to invest in. That's fundamental research. So I've got an excellent spreadsheet, which I've updated amazingly. That'll do everything. When you look at it, in fact, boys, I'll ask you a question here. I came up with an analogy off the top of my head doing taking stock in the week, out on my own. And I was thinking, what makes a shit? How do you know you're going to invest? If you invest in a company, how do you know you're going to make money? Why? What? What? Well, you know, how do you know? How would you even look? Where would you start from?
I've never experienced that.
Yeah, exactly.
Valuation, isn't it, really?
Yes. And that's a good starting point, Pete. Yes. 5 points for the man with the big ears.
Thank you.
Paddy, man with the big nose.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Man with the big ears. Carry on.
I was going to say, you assuming that there is a valuation gap in, like, what you think it should be worth and what the market is valuing at.
Oh, look at that valuation gap.
Yeah. Sexy valuation gap.
Yeah. Shove your crystal balls in there, eh? I'll give the analogy of this. First of all, right, you've got to know how to. If you look at small caps, growth is the most important thing. Top line growth is the most important. But also, valuation is very important as well. It comes. I don't know why I just put these in levels of importance, but a company, if it's growing top line crazy, almost like valuation becomes less of a thing. As long as it keeps hitting those growth levels. But when you actually get an entry into a company, you've got to know what is the value here, this company? You know, what is it? How much value is it going to generate? And will that be enough to see some upside, to, you know, to make that basically next value level point, you know, worth it? For example, how much value is it going to create from its present? So I give this analogy, for example. You walk into an antique shop, right? And you see, and you've got a bit of an eye for a painting, and you see what seems to be a Van Gogh, You know, so you go up there, and you say, oh, there's an old lady behind the counter. She doesn't look very sharp. That's a Van Gogh. It's tucked around, you know, tucked around the back, around some other things. Bloody hell. And it's, I wonder if you've got, yeah. And you can't see a price tag on it.
Right.
What's the value of that then? No, you, and you think, that's going to be worth, if that's, that is, you know, a certain period of anger, that is going to be worth £2 million. Easy, in this little shop, the back end of Guildford, whatever it is, I don't know, Cardiff, whatever. Doesn't matter where it is, that's not important. The location of the shop is not important in this analogy. I don't know why you've mentioned it, actually. But anyway, so you go to the lady, and there's no price on it. You say, excuse me, young lady, you know, trying to flatter her a bit. And she's not young. What's the price of that old picture over there, please? And she, oh, that dear. And you're thinking now, in your head, I can sell that for £2 million straight away. If she says like 10, 100 quid, 5 grand, whatever, I'm in the money. If she says, oh, that dear is 4 million, oh, OK, I'm going to lose money on that, you know, because it's overvalued. The shop is overvaluing it. Now, if she does say,
don't do that.
Oh, I'll give me £1.50, dear. Then you're thinking, yes, I'm in here. The value, I know the value. I know the value of it. I know it's 2 million. She's selling it for, what did she say, 1.50, whatever. There's a lot of upside there. The same with the company, isn't there? You know, you're valuing company. You think, okay, it looks great. I like the story. I like the hype. But if it's valued like 100 million, literally it's only worth about 10 million, you can lose money. So that's very important. It's valuation, growth, valuation. What is it? Growth, value, health, efficiency. And very important is potential and momentum. Don't forget momentum, boys. Very important. And that's why I'm not investing in many stocks at the moment. That's the chart. Look at the chart. Technicals, you know. So you've got what to invest in, when to invest in it. That's about momentum. Look at charts. And how to invest in it. That is about your portfolio management. How is your portfolio management, boys?
Quiet.
Sorry? Oh, there's a pud. Because one of you said good, quiet. And was, try and speak separately so I can hear you individually. Man with a big nose. Go first. Man with a big winky. Hey!
Quiet.
It's quite good.
Yeah. Now, do you actually ever try and manage your portfolio? Now, when you're buying something, do you think, how much am I putting into this? What I put into it, what percentage of my portfolio, you know, do you pay any attention to that or what?
Yeah, like I have done in the past, but I'm really inactive at the moment, so I'm not doing
it. Feels like
much.
A long time ago since those decisions were made.
I don't think, I'm inactive, that's not what I've heard, Breach, you know what I'm saying?
Oh. But, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of people like that, isn't there? I mean, that's part of the reason we're grinding lower, because nobody's going into the... No one's dipping a toe in the water.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've dipped a couple of toes in the water in certain stocks. But no, it is.
You're very active.
Oh, I'm very active. Don't tell the missus. I've said recently, do you know what? About 2 years ago, at the top of the bull market, I'd do a tweet on a company and I'd get like 30, 40 likes quite easily.
Yeah.
And now, I'm not going to get one. It's like maybe it's the wrong company I'm pushing, but it's like no, you know. But that's how hard it is, you know. So at the moment, it really is. People just switch off, and that's the thing. People do switch off, and that in itself is the bear market.
Also a reflection of Twitter or X, because I'm just don't look at Twitter.
It could be, couldn't it? I've not looked at it for ages.
No, I used to look at it a lot more.
Well, he's going to charge a second tier now, isn't he? He's going to charge $1 for people now, whatever you know. And then you still get ads.
Say goodbye to me.
Yeah, you still get ads and stuff. I think he's got this excuse. It makes a bit of sense, actually, about getting bots off there. Because I get bots every now and again. Like every you know, I say at least once a month, I get someone copying me exactly, my bio and everything. They follow a lot of people. People follow them back. And then they'll tweet something I tweet. They say, why are you doing that, you idiot? That's my tweet. Now you just let me know that you're away, and I just report them. They go off then. But
talking about valuation, I really don't understand that valuation of Twitter and X and whatever, and I mean,
neither did he.
No, well, there must be. There's a bigger game at play there in terms of I don't know, is it the peer-to-peer, you know, finance and stuff, loans? I don't know. They're going to be changed into a platform that's doing all that stuff.
But even if that's the plan, I'm not going to get involved with him. To be honest, if I had a choice, I wouldn't.
No, I don't trust him at all, do you? It's really funny. People love him and they worship him because he's made lots of money. But you've got to question some of the things he does, some things he highlights. And by the way, just a quick thought of stocks. Paddy, how many stocks do you own these days? Do you own a fund?
No.
No? Oh, Patrick.
Well, Patrick. Remember when we were at the top of the market and I said, I'll probably just sell on my shares and you told me not to?
Oh, see, that? Blaming.
That was the point where I was thinking of investing in a fund, and now I'm quite dramatically down.
Don't worry. Listen, when the market turns, and it will turn, we're going through literally a desert. You know, the oasis will, sooner or later, you'll come to the promised land. And I think that'll be maybe quarter two next year. But we'll have a little bit of a rally before then, I think. Listen, we are coming into November, December, two of the best months of the year.
Oh, yeah. Santa rally.
Yes, can you hear the jingle bells?
The infamous Santa rally, blinking your whiffet.
Never happened.
Last five years, it's never happened. No, it did happen one year, I think 5 years ago.
Maybe for half a day, but that's it.
I'm going to do some stats on it, right, on the AIM market. The AIM market is an all-time low. It's a two-year low, pretty much. It's at 775 days. I tweeted about it the other day. But 775 days since the high, down 48%. And it's literally, that's a big sell-off, and it's a long sell-off. And the fact that it's been selling off now in October, September, October, generally when that happens, you do get a little bounce coming into the end of the year, new year. But I'll go back and look at it. Of course, there's so many things going on, you know, geopolitically and all that stuff.
What we need is a general election. We need to turn the momentum, the sentiment around in this country.
Yeah, well, that helped, though. I mean, anyway, so how many stocks do you own, Pad?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay. What are they?
Eastern People. Biome.
What? Eastern People?
G-Tech.
What's Eastern People?
Space and People.
Oh, right. Bloody hell. Why didn't you sell when I sell?
Because you never tell me.
Well, you haven't been on the podcast for a year.
G-Tech. That's going well. G-Fin, it's going even better.
Sorry.
Polarian, that's going
bloody
really
hell.
Well. And Truefin, which I'm gonna assume that's probably gonna come good at some stage, but yeah.
Truefin's gonna blow the market. Do you know what? You only need like one winner there. Truefin, right, honestly, people don't understand what's going on here. Their sales are massively in the next couple of years, and they're doing very well. All these companies, G-Tech and they will go with the market. I said, you know, they are leveraged like five times the normal markets. They've gone up five times faster and down five times. Well, I say five times again. But so they are massively leveraged to the market. But Pad, we start in the next bull market will start, right? And we will be looking at the things and we'll say, right, Pad, get it out, put it in a dividend paying fund once a month, pay in a dividend paying fund or something like that. And then you'll get an income from it from a couple of years, nice income, just, you know, and it'll be fine. Yeah, that's what you need to do. But you will be able to double, triple those, quadruple those, and get you some of your money back. But it's tricky. That is, what I mean, you own, Peter?
I think about 8, probably.
Go on then, name them, don't be shy. Are you a bit scared?
No, I mean, I'm G-Tech as well, and Polarian, G-Tech and Polarian, and thanks, and also XPF.
Really, still?
Yeah. Ooh.
XPF, I do want the XPF.
They had a big seller, unfortunately, and that big seller just kept on lowering the share price.
But XPF, right, literally, it's just tarnished with, it's in a range, it's tarnished with a wider leisure economy, but it's not. It's like, you know, the figures are knocking out very good, but literally it's in a range. Once it breaks up, it'll be fine. It breaks up out of the trend. They just need to keep posting those good figures, which I think they will. And people start to realise in the end, oh, this is not a normal pub or a restaurant group or whatever that. It'll be fine. Did you got Destiny Farmer, didn't you?
Truefin and Destiny Farmer, and I still hold some Lloyds, and I have two funds as well.
Which funds are there? You've got the all share strategy fund. What's the other one you have?
So that's the 100 and equity one, isn't it? And then the other one is the FTSE 100 fund. The Vanguard puts it on the
trump. Oh, okay, okay. Does it pay a dividend?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yes.
Yeah. So this is what you should be doing in a fund. As I said, your age, Pad, plus half. What is that? What are you now? 40?
32.
32, yes.
Plus 16, 48.
48%, yeah, it should be in a fund. You know, that's where you need
10% of what should be in a fund? My portfolio?
Yes, your total portfolio. Yeah. But to take now, don't bail on those companies there, because, you know, one of those may go mega bucks. But
well, yeah, exactly.
Destiny Farm, did you see the figures from Destiny Farm yesterday on XP, on their second asset, second phase, yes, three asset, and basically new microbiological data. I'm going to finish in a few minutes now. But literally, this is antimicrobial resistance, which is a massive problem. The World Health Organization, they have said that, you know, it's one of the top 10 biggest threats to humanity, you know, because you go into a hospital and you're resistant to, you know, to antibiotics, you die. Even if you're having your nails done in there, you know, nails varnish or something in a hospital. Something really, really minor. I don't know if they do that. But they tested it against all 2,527 Staphylococcus species and basically killed every one of them. Effective against all of them, every single one of them. And currently, there's nothing like that in the market. It'll be the next standard of care. It's worth $2 billion in the US alone. Just kills them dead very quickly as well. Other ones took waves. Is it dying? No. But these, within minutes, kills it dead. It's like, I think, yeah, it's Domestos. Like Domestos. And the 99.9% of all... even as a kid, I thought that marketing was very... I'm not saying Destiny is, but the bleach marketing kills 99.9% of all germs dead. And you say, well, surely the 0.1 is the dangerous one. If you're pouring bleach on it, you can't kill it. What the heck is that? Sort that one out. You know, the others are weak ones. That one you can't kill. That's very dangerous.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You know, what kind of bug is out there? You're literally pouring it, drowning it in bleach. And he goes, oh, that's nice. That's quite nice. Yeah. A bit more there. Anyway, so that's good. Did you look into... I think you like this, Pad. Did you look into Silver Bullet? Did you look into it?
I did, but the problem is I don't have any money to invest. Okay, unless I sell this whole lot and then put it into something else, and I'm open to that.
I don't think people understand how big this is, right? This deprecating the cookies. It's massive. And people say, well, how big is it? You know, market, size market. First of all, digital market advertising, $700 billion. You know, Google are the main player sort of in there, and they get about $230 billion off Google ads and using third-party cookies. They will be phasing those out in 2024. Already advertising companies, how do we target customers? They're using contextual advertising and computer vision, which Silver Bullet do. And say, well, how big is that? Well, do you know what? You're probably listening to this on the internet. You've probably got a third-party cookie in your browser there somewhere. That's it. Everyone who's on the internet has got one of them in their browser. That's how big. It affects everyone, pretty much. It's massive. And there are very few companies that can help advertisers target as effectively as Silver Bullet and their 4D platform. That's how big it is. It's very scalable. It's one of these companies that will be taken up by an American player for multiples, I believe. Multiples! Multiples, I tell you. Anyway, so just do your research, yeah? And the fact is, they are growing very quickly now that they've obviously taken 3 years to build that AI 4D product. Taken 3-4 years to do it. It's now fully developed. Obviously, there'll be iterations of that, but... big brands are using it. Massive companies trialing it. I mean, talk about global brands already and all signed up. And they work with Heineken, you know, Dolce & Gabbana, all the ITV, those Oracle, Adobe, all those things. Anyway, so it's worth a look. And also, one of those doing well, actually, of mine is Good Energy. Did any of you get into that? I thought you were going to Good Energy, and I quite like that. It's about the decentralization, pretty much, of energy. You know, they use people all around the country, energy makers, little people in Wales with their hydroelectric power stations, or people, you know, in the south, we've got a winery and they're using solar panels, and they sell that to other people who want true, clean energy. It's a nice way. And they do say, in the end, it will be complete, you know, decentralization of energy by everyone producing their own. And I see it going that way, don't you? And they're the biggest They're the biggest sort of player in that field. Anyway, the chart is looking nice. It's breaking up, and it's starting to go. It's starting to go, boys. But yeah, obviously that's you won't like that because you don't own it. But
yeah, but it's good to know.
But your stocks will do well soon. You know.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. Justin.
It'll be a massive Santa rally. Don't worry about that. That's nailed on. I've had a word with the big fat man in the red suit. And it's going to happen, guys. All right.
That's good. Good to know.
Okay. Any other questions?
No. That's very good. Thanks. Really insightful.
Okay.
Which country are you in, Pete?
I'm currently actually in Wales.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm in Cardiff. Gearing up for the
echo.
Gearing up for the World Cup semi-finals. I'm sure you're looking forward to that, guys.
Oh yeah, so it is.
Ridiculous, isn't it? I did that. I did like that meme about that four pictures. I sent that. Where it says, do you often wonder how things get there? And you have these cars stuck in certain places, a horse with his head through the fence, and a picture of England badge in the semi-finals. And I do think, I know you the old saying, you can only play what's in front of you, but they've had a lucky draw, haven't they?
But I don't know. Not sure. Wales didn't have a hard one, but they cocked it
That's
up.
That's what happens, isn't it, in draws. That's the whole point of a draw.
Exactly, yeah.
This is how draws work. Sometimes you benefit, sometimes you don't. Like, you get over that quickly. That's just
But
the
sooner
way
or later, they'll get their comeuppance.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Sooner or later. It's tomorrow night, yes.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this on a Saturday, it's tonight. And then we'll see how good. Do you know what, though? Whenever you get that, two-horse race, and the one is a strong favourite, put a couple of quid on the outsider.
Underdog.
It paid you handsomely if you'd backed Japan against South Africa. What was that?
There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'll finish on a joke, okay?
No.
Okay, and you mustn't laugh, guys, all right? Don't laugh, all right?
Don't worry.
It's going to be, it won't be half a pad. But try your best, because this is very funny. And in fact, I just literally Google this now and I'm scrolling down, they're all rubbish.
Joke.
Hang on. Oh, here we go. This is a good one. Here we go. This is good. Okay, listen now. No laughing, guys. What's the difference between the bird flu and the swine flu?
They affect different animals.
Pete, what's the difference between the bird flu...
This is a joke. Is this a joke?
Yes, this is a pretty tasteless joke. But it's not that tasty. Yeah. This is it. It's a joke. Lighten up. Yeah. What's the difference between the bird flu and swine flu?
I can't even think of what the answer's going to be.
Okay. One requires treatment and the other ointment.
Brilliant. Yeah.
You can use that pad down the pub.
I don't know. There's been tens of hundreds of millions of deaths down to both of those.
Okay. Good point.
And Pete actually laughed more at that than my joke. For heaven's sake. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, that's how sick I am.
All right. Cheers, guys. I'll have you again. Good luck, England.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
That's a good truth. I need that. All right. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.